Let's get into more important things this morning. Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Very familiar story that we find here in our text. And this is the theme for our church this year. Very simple theme, but a theme that encompasses a lot. If you've been around me a little bit this week, you'll know this theme has really taken over my thoughts. We find, I imagine, this story unfolding. You have an imagination? Imagine the story with me if you could. The Israelites are standing at the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptians behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. Absolute destruction to them is going to happen in just a moment. If they go forward, they're going to die in the Red Sea. If they go backwards, they're going to be their lives will be taken at the hands of the Egyptian army. The Bible says, verse number 8, that Pharaoh had hardened the heart, or God had hardened the heart of Pharaoh after they left Egypt and they pursued the Israelites. And so we find them on the banks of the Red Sea. Imminent destruction is there. And it's really at this point in the story that my mind stops and begins to throw in my imaginative side. After standing on the Red Sea with the Israelites, if I can insert this, Winston Churchill. What do you do when all things are going the wrong direction? Winston Churchill was summoned at the end of his distinguished career. He was asked to return to his old school and give a farewell speech to the graduating class. The school was called Harrow. It was a school that he had almost flunked out of when he was younger. So the great day finally arrived when he got to the school, and there, he was going to give this the school stood up. They all applauded him. All the fanfare was there. And Winston Churchill walked to the podium and acknowledging the introduction, he gave this speech. And I'm going to quote the speech in its entirety. Here's the speech I picture him saying to the Israelites on the edge of the Red Sea. Young men, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never, 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 never give up. And he turned around and walked back to his seat and sat down. What a letdown. Arthur Sullivan, in your songbook, you'll find the words that he wrote, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Another songwriter wrote, "Onward of the mighty throne. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." Marching on, marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In John chapter 20, we see Peter is faced with certain defeat when he went forward into his ship and Jesus said, "Cast your nets on the other side." Why would I do that? I've been defeated. I've toiled all night and seen nothing. But he went forward and did what Jesus told him, and he harvested a multitude of fish. In 1 Kings chapter 7, I have chapter 7, verse 8 through 4. That doesn't make sense. But there was four lepers that were there facing destruction. They were going to die, and they came to themselves, and they began to make they brought a thought out. They said, "If we stay here, we're going to die. But if we go forward, there's hope that we'll be able to succeed." And we know that, if you know that story, they found when they went forward that God provided for them. He gave them a day of good tidings, good food, great joy, not just for them, but all the people that were involved. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, we see that Daniel went forward into the lion's den, and he was dropped down into that pit with the lions. And there, because he went forward for Jesus Christ in prayer, we see that Daniel faced protection from God. Joshua chapter 6, the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. 6 days they marched one time around those walls, and they came to the seventh day and they marched 7 times around the city of Jericho. You say, no big deal. I'm in there. God would not have brought those walls down, but they marched forward. And as a result, God gave them victory over children, went forward in their conviction and their stance on Jesus Christ, and not bowing, did not even get a smell of fire. I remember a few years ago, Empowered Youth Town, I was on my way down Oak Hill Road to the, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday night service, and I saw my way down Oak World. Some flames from a distance, and I pulled up in the house that used to sit right next to the church. It might still be there. I don't know. The guy had been trying to burn. He came out, and the whole row of trees was on fire. Well, what do you do? I'm in a suit. I said, go ahead. You're not helping it burn. Help put it out. He said, I'll go inside and get some water. I said, go ahead. You're not helping anyway. Got it put out by the time I put it out. He said, I'll go inside and get some water. I said, go ahead. You're not helping anyway. Got it put out by the time he got back. He said, I'll go inside and get some water. I said, go ahead. You're not helping anyway. Got it put out by the time he got back. But I walked, go inside and get some water. I said, go ahead. You're not helping anyway. Got it put out by the time he got back. But I walked into church. Your parish was there, and I think Pastor Dammer was there. And we're talking about the games and everything. And all of a sudden, what's that smell? And here my clothes smelled like fire. To the point that I almost left and went and changed. But they were in the midst of a fire. The Hebrew changed, but they were in the midst of a fire, the Hebrew children, and they were not even touched with that smell. Another hymn writer, Dan Whittle, wrote, marching on, for Christ counts everything but loss, and to crown him king will toil and sing neath the banner of the cross. Someone once said, and if you could make a motto for your life, maybe this would be the motto that you should make. If I stumble, pick me up. If I falter, push me on. But if I turn back, shoot me. I've got to go forward. We find our text in verse number 10 through 15. There's times in each of our lives that we're going to face hardship from the devil, maybe even certain defeat. But if you can remember one thing, it's the theme of our church this year. Keep on going. Keep on going. Go forward. Go forward. We find in verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word of God that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, and here's the theme for today, that they go forward. We should not be comfortable as Christians going backwards. But we're going backwards too fast. And when, if you've ever had something on the side of a hill that you're going up and it starts sliding down, if you don't stop it, it's going to get going too fast that you cannot stop it. We must go forward. I want to look at that idea this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll give me clarity of thought. I pray that you'll allow me to speak only thus saith the Lord. I pray that this morning we not leave here talking about the preacher, but rather talking about the Word of God and what God has done for us and through your Word and what He would challenge us to do. I pray that I'd be very clear of what you would have us to hear this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to look at just a couple areas this morning in basics of things that as a high school student or things as a college student that we can move forward. And in the first one is this idea, simple, separation. Forward and separation. Where the Egyptians, when you use them as comparison to the Christian life, the Israelites are comparison to the Christian life, what does Egypt represent? The world. And what does the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you. Remember, God is telling us to keep moving forward. And if you take the stand and say, I'm willing to take the stand of separation, God will step in, that verse tells us, and be a father unto you. That makes it worth it. Continue on there. What does it say? And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You want to be separated from the Lord? He's Almighty. He'll take care of what you step out and say, I'm moving away from the world. Watch how He gives you strength. Watch how He stabilizes your back. He holds you up because you're willing to separate for Him. But it goes on. These promises we see in verse number 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises. What promises? That He's Almighty God. That He's watching your steps. And that He's going to be a father to you when you move forward for Him. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What is separation? It's putting feet to the action. What are we talking about going forward? Now I'm going to stop here and say there's some of you in here probably, and I don't know all of you, but there's probably some in here that need to learn to go forward to the altar first. When's the last time you walked to the altar? Because the Lord convicted. Not because you were emotional. Not because your friends went. Not because your parents were watching. Not because your youth pastor was watching. But because God spoke to you. When's the last time you went forward? But that's, we're talking about going, taking feet to the action of a decision. We're talking about separating your life. I was there. Your life is so filled with the world that the world looks at you and says, he's a Christian. There's nothing different with that person than there is of me. Why would I want to be a Christian? Why do I need to be a Christian if I can live the same way? We're talking about separating from the world. You dress like the world. You talk like the world. You comb your hair like the world. You smell like the world. I look at Peter at the devil's fire. My guess is Peter changed his clothes so that he could fit in. You read three Gospels. I was talking about this Sunday morning in church. You read three Gospels and they say Peter was sitting at the fire. But you come to the book of John and John says he was standing. You know why? Because I think he sat down around the fire and he wasn't comfortable. You ever been in your seat in church and you're not comfortable and you start moving around? Because the Lord's working on, that's where Peter was. And he stood up, and he sat down, and he stood up. He couldn't get comfortable. But some of us are so far that it's okay. The world doesn't affect me anymore. Separate from the world. There's some things that I look back at times growing up that I think our country has lost. What do I mean? Fishing with Dad. How many in here have ever played a full game of Monopoly? Okay. Put your hands down. How many have ever played a full game of Scrabble? Fewer hands. Where's it gone in our lives? Where's the time of girls cooking with mom? Where's the time of dads going or kids going to work with their dads? Where's the time of fellowship, good reading in the home, picnics, checkers? You know what's happened to it? There's a virus that's taken over our country. Oh, come on, we're not going COVID-19. But I'm going to give you some viruses this morning that have crept into the church and into Christian homes that have changed this idea of separation. There used to be a day, and you may look at your life and say, there used to be a day when I would never talk about those things. I would not talk to my parents that way. I would never dress that way. I would never do those actions. I would never do those things, certainly not in the home. So guess what the devil did? He said, I'm going to use a virus to get into your home. What are the viruses that he's used? This was the first one. Television. You wouldn't do those things in your house. But you go home on spring break and you're going to watch every movie. You got to catch up on your series. And you're going to watch them do things that a Christian should never be involved in. I never do that, but I'm going to watch it. Play with fire and tell me you're not going to get burned. But growing up, the devil, I think, started seeing that he wasn't getting Christians because growing up, I was just reminiscing on over Christmas holiday. We used to go to Rent-A-Center and get a TV screen so we could watch VHSs. Who was saying I was Ancient of Days? Talk about Ancient of Days. And so he said, I'm not going to get you with television. And maybe you've gotten to the point that you say, hey, I can handle it. I'm not into watching movies. All right, I watch a movie and 10 minutes into it, I'm asleep. So it's like, who cares? But you know what the devil did? He said, if I can't get you with that virus, I'm bringing another one. The Internet. As Mr. Wright says, the World Wide Web, www. So the devil says, well, let's get the Internet in there. If they're not going to sit at home and watch it, guys, filter, accountability. We're separating from the world. You never do those things, but the devil knows how to get you. Well, I can protect myself. I put a filter on my internet. Okay. Well, let's go this one first. Let's use all kinds of other forms of technology. YouTube. Beware of the viruses the devil's putting out there for you. But all that's okay. We're strong enough. We can handle that. There's one more that I think has torn us up as Christians more than any of them. What is it? Social media. Social media. I'm not going to be a friend of the world, but I better have the most friends on my Facebook account. And do you know what? Hopefully you wouldn't know much about this name. Kim Kardashian. Kanye West. I think they're married, or they were married. She said, I won't even scroll through my Facebook account with my child around because of the wickedness that scrolls through it that she would see. I won't even scroll through my personal Facebook account because of what comes across the screen. But we think it's okay. We think a teenager can deal with the fire of social media, take fire in your bones and not be burnt. The devil has got you. And he says, if I can hold on to you with this, you're not going to go forward. And it's time we set that stuff aside and say, I'm going to go forward. Imminent defeat at the hands of the Egyptians. The world, the world, the world. The devil wants you. Every one of us in here. He wants you. We need to go forward in this idea of separation from the world. Now, all of these things. There's good people that have them. There's people in my church that have a television. And I know there's some Pharisees that would go around and say, oh, you have a television. But some of those people in my church that have a television hardly watch it, and they've got more spirituality in their big toe than you have in your whole life. So stop being a Pharisee. I'm asking you to look at yourself. I'm asking myself to observe myself this morning. It's time we go forward in this idea. You say, preacher, you're just meddling. You're just preaching you're behind your soapbox. Okay, if I was, let's go back to the Bible real quick, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We're just going to preach the Bible for a little bit, okay? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Ephesians 5, verse 11, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5, 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. That's right here. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself, social media, against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalm 101, verse 2, you say, well, I follow these things. My youth pastor knows that I'm good in these areas. My parents or my preacher knows that I separate from the world. Psalm 101, verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. We're talking about separation outside the home, but inside the home. If you can't live right in your home, how do you think you can go out into battle and not be killed by the enemy? The home is the easiest place to do that. The Christian school is the easiest place to live like a Christian. The college, Christian college, easiest place to live like a Christian. But it's also the easiest place to fall prey to the devil. Because we think we can handle it. Deuteronomy 7, verse 26, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is the Bible. This preaching is not my pet peeve. It's the Bible that you've got to separate from it. So let's jump on. I was going to preach on the importance of separation and dress, but you guys got that. Okay. Maybe. It's for men and women, okay? Men should dress like men. And ladies should dress like ladies. Get up tomorrow morning if you don't know how to dress. And ask God if this is appropriate in His presence. If you can't answer yes, throw it in the garbage. But I paid a lot of money for it. And a lot of money will ruin your life. Because the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Separating your dress without getting into it, because I want to get to the next point. We need to go forward on our following of the Scripture. Go forward in your separation. What am I saying? One step. Then take another step. Take another step. Don't take another one. One step at a time. Day by day, little by little, hour by hour. We're trying not to follow the world. So let's follow the Word instead. There was a battle one time that the commander looked at his flag bearer, and he explained to his flag bearer that they wanted to take that hill. And he told his flag bearer, he said, you get that flag to the top of the hill and we'll come meet you up there. A flag is called a standard, right? Take the standard to the top of the hill and we'll get there. The young man grabbed that flag and he ran up the hill, planted that flag. And he stood there with it. The enemy, it was a larger enemy than they thought was coming. And the enemy came after them. And there was more artillery and more power. And there was the commander looked and said, it's vain. We can't get to the top of the hill. And he began to shout at the flag bearer. He said, bring the standard back to the people. And the flag bearer stood there with the flag looking straight ahead as if he was deaf to the commander. And the commander said, I said, bring the standard back to the people.
And a flag bearer stood there. And after the third time of the commander telling him, that young man turned around to the captain and he said, "Captain, bring the people up to the standard. And then we'll have victory." And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." We've got a standard. You want to have victory? Go to the standard. Here's what's happened in Christian life. The standard of the Bible is here. The Bible has never changed. And it will not change. So we say we're separated from the world. The world is here. And we're here. There's things that the world would do that we would never do. But guess what happens over time? The world moves here. And we move here. The world moves further. And we move further. And we continue. And guess what we say? I'm separated from the world. Look at the standard. The standard has not moved, but we have. And it's time that we get the people back to the standard. Stop focusing on the world as your guideline. This is the guideline. If you can give your heart to the Lord, separation will fall in place with it. You'll not have an issue with authority if you follow the standard. You'll not have an issue with dress if you or pants. Guys, you wouldn't go to dress, but you look like girls. Sorry. We wouldn't have an issue with that if we followed the standard. Follow the word. But some of us in here would say, I'm with you. Let me give you one more thought on this idea of following the word. Not just follow the word. It's important because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We must follow the word of God. But we have to take it a step further and follow the word of God clearly. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? You know what the problem with us today is? We preach, we tell the word of God, we're passing out tracts, we're being soul winners. But those very same people are looking at you and saying, the way they live is not the same sound that they're telling me about. If I blow a trumpet and a violin sound comes out, watch out. That's probably what would happen if I played a trumpet right now. You know, the screech on the violin? That'd be on the trumpet. All right, but where do we get that from? You remember when Ezekiel talks about we're watchmen on the watchtower? We're watching over the souls of people. And if you see the enemy coming, you're supposed to blow the trumpet. Well, we've got friends and neighbors and relatives that need the trumpet blown. But when you blow the trumpet, I remember the first time I heard a ram's horn blown. What was that sound? Now that I've heard it, though, I know what it's supposed to sound like. When you blow the word of God, may it be the same word that you live by. If you don't live by it, don't preach it. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You can't serve the Lord and serve the devil at the same time. It's called an uncertain sound. And you're going to answer to God because people hear that word, that sound, and they're going to hell because you have an uncertain sound. There's people today. I think of Peter. He went back to fishing, didn't he? And I wondered, the day he went fishing,
was there somebody that he should have won to Christ that day? That today is in hell because Peter went back to his old life. Don't blow an uncertain sound. Follow the word of God clearly. And last one, I'll just give it to you. Go forward on soul winning. I've got a whole list of stories here of people that were reached with the word of God. Because an individual, not myself, other individuals, saw a need to go forward in soul winning. I'll give you one. When my mom was up in the hospital, dying of cancer, you know my sister, Lindsay, can't say much. You know what she'd do, though? Everybody that passed the door of that hospital room, she'd run out with a track, and she'd hand it to them, and she'd say, "My mommy, heaven. My mommy, heaven." And because of that, the nurse named Miss Connie went to Cornerstone up in Chicago and got saved because a handicapped girl was willing to go forward in soul winning. But we're too shy to do it. They're going to slam the door in my face and laugh, sissy. Jesus Christ sent someone to you to bring the gospel. Why can't you take it to somebody else? The idea is we must go forward. I've gone a little bit past. Let me close with this thought. Go to Joshua chapter 2. 40 years. So now they're standing at ready to go into the promised land. 40 years prior to them going into the promised land, they had stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and God said, "Go forward." They came to the walls of Jericho. They came to the walls of the promised land that God wanted them to go into. He had told them to do what? He gave them two words. Somebody got it. Let's try again. He told them to what? Go forward. They came to Israel, and what happened? They sent in 10 spies. God told us to go forward and conquer Canaan, but it can't be done. The enemy's too great. The giants are too big. I can't go forward anymore. So now we fast forward after the 40 years of wandering, right? We're at a different generation of Israelites about to go into the Canaan land. Joshua sends two spies into the promised land. Verse 10, chapter 2. Those two spies found a lady named Rahab. They came to Rahab, and Rahab's response tells you exactly the fact that the Israelites should have gone forward 40 years earlier. She says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." Israel, the Canaan land, the promised land, they had heard what God did. They knew the miracle that God had done. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Okay, so they heard these things of what God had done 40 years prior when they crossed the Red Sea. What was the response 40 years earlier? "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Remember in our text passage, it said the Lord will fight for you or with you. 40 years prior, they obeyed God. They went forward over the Red Sea. But they went as far as they thought they could go on their own. And they said, "We can't go any further. The enemy's too great. The giants are too tall." But that verse tells me those giants that were so big and so strong and so powerful, what did it say? It says no man had any courage. God had already defeated those giants 40 years prior. But because they didn't go forward and take that next step, they wandered for 40 years. And I wonder how many in here are going to wander the rest of your life because you get to the edge of the promised land that God has for you, the ministry that God has for you, and you say, it's just too strong, the enemy's too tall, he's too big, and I can't take care of it. That's a good attitude to have, that I can't take care of it, but the Lord will fight for you if you take that one more step. Go forward. One more step. Go one more step. They didn't know that inside those walls, God had already completed victory for them. And we come to our text, and it says, Moses, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God's got your fight under control. Guess what? You're not the first person to go through that fight. We used to have a saying, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. God's been there and conquered the devil. And he's ready to fight for you. Take the standard, put it up on the hill, and say, I'm not stopping until I get to the victory. Go forward. Separation. Go forward in the scriptures. Go forward in soul winning. Cover those three things. You're going to have some good victories in your life. You're going to accomplish something for the Lord. Go forward. Let's stand to our feet. Go forward.